So separation. We're talking about separation. Separation. Where are Radha and Krishna? Where is Gauranga Mahaprabhu? We have some feelings for them, but we don't see them. We don't perceive them. We're chanting their name every day. They're doing puja. We're doing worship. They seem so far from us. So we have to feel that this feeling of separation should become so intense it brings us to the point of crying. Crying for Krishna. As I mentioned, Prabhupada mentions in one place in his books, Vipralamba Seva. And in a Krishna book, he says that spiritual masters, it's very interesting how he says this. This is 1969 in the Krishna book. Prabhupada is saying the spiritual masters, they should enrich their disciples. They should train and enrich their disciples with feelings of separation. So the guru, he should teach the disciple in such a way that they feel separation. They'll feel, oh yeah, Chanare Krishna, Haribo, Mahaprasad. Everything's, I don't feel any separation from Mahaprasadam. And they should actually feel, oh, I'm Krishna, where are you? You're in this holy name. Naam Rup Gun Leela. So this whole mood was first revealed in our Sampradaya by Madhavendra Puripad. Because generally in Madhva Sampradaya, they're in the mood of Dasya Bhav and Vaikuntha. They want to go to Vaikuntha and worship Krishna and Vaikuntha. That mood, Udupi Krishna. The mood is Dasya, at best Sakya. But Madhurya is not there. Even the idea of going to Goloka Vrindavan is not there in Madhva Sampradaya. So he's a Madhva, so he's introducing something new into Madhva Sampradaya. He's introducing the goal is not Vaikuntha. So Madhavendra Puri introduces separation. So he spoke a verse, came from his mouth, from Madhavendra Puri 500 years ago, which was actually spoken by Radharani when she was in Mathura Viraha. Mathura Viraha means intense mood of separation from Krishna when he went to Mathura. And this verse, it's a whole description in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's in Madhya Leela. What is it? It's Madhya Leela 17... Chapter 17 of Madhya Leela, verse 173. It's a very, very important verse if someone wants to write it down or memorize it. Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 17, verse 173. This verse is the foundational verse for the whole Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. It's called Paribhasa Sutra. Paribhasa Sutra means that sutra, that verse, that is the foundation of the entire building of devotion, of bhakti. Bhakti is built upon this. And to chant this verse, and you can see there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's a whole description of this verse, the power of this verse, what it represents, and how this verse should come in the mood of our bhajan. So what is that verse? This is it, the verse is here. This is spoken by Radharani. I dina dayarja nat dehe. Matura nath kadava lokise. Ridiyam twad aloka kataram. Dayata brahmyate kim karomyaham. Radharani's praying, O Krishna, you are Srinathji. You are Srinath. You are the Lord of our hearts. You are the Lord of the gopis' hearts, and especially the Lord of my heart. But now you've gone to Mathura. And we're anath. Nath means Lord, controller. We're anath. We have no Lord. We have no controller. We're like a ship without a rudder. You know, when you have a ship or a boat, there's something that goes under the bottom. It's called the rudder. It's like this. It controls the sailboat. It goes down like this, right? If you take that out, then the boat just turns. Without the rudder, the sailboat just rotates like this, right? Just turns in circles because there's nothing sticking down like this. You know? It's called the rudder. So the gopis had no more director, no more recipient of their love. So that's what they're saying. Ai dina dayarja natahe. You're supposed to be dina dayal, doyal chaitanya, doyal nityananda. But now we see that you're not. You've gone off to Mathura. And what are we supposed to do? Ridayam kataram means our heart is very much aggrieved and broken. Aloka. Ridyam twat aloka katram. Krishna, if we cannot see you, we feel very unhappy, very upset. We have some example of it. Devotees live in a temple, and they worship their temple deities, especially Sankirtan devotees. And they may have to go home sometimes for some time or some family responsibilities for a few days or weeks or whatever. Or they may go on traveling Sankirtan, and they miss their deity so much, their temple deity. And then when they come back and then they see, oh, I was missing you. How can I live without seeing you? The devotee, the sincere devotee, develops a very intimate relationship with his deity, his Thakurji. So if he doesn't see him for some days, he's on traveling Sankirtan, traveling all over Russia, whatever. He has some picture in the van, okay. But it's not the same as seeing directly. So you imagine Krishna leaves Vrindavan. So this verse, from this verse, which was actually spoken by Radharani, Madhavendra Puri was so taratmika, or one with the feeling and mood of Radharani, that he captured her heart. And the words came out of his mouth, were actually originally came out of Radharani's mouth 5,000 years before. And this Madhavendra Puri did his bhajan here, in that mood of Radha Bhav. Viraha Bhav, separation from Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Crying. Not going even for Madhukari. Madhavendra Puri, he took a vow called Avyachitita Brat, where he doesn't even beg anything. He just chants, does his puja, meditation. Depends on the mercy of the Lord. If Krishna gives, I eat. If Krishna doesn't give, I starve. This was his mood, separation. I'm just having the holy name and my meditation. So he was in this mood, totally identifying with Radharani. Krishna, where have you gone? I can't see you. And I'm miserable. I'm aggrieved without you. So we prayed to Madhavendra Puri. We say, yes, I'm not miserable. I'm not grieving in separation from Krishna. I'm not feeling separation from Radha or Krishna. I'm very happy. I'm very healthy. Nice. Everything's fine. Please bless me with some of this mood of separation. Please bless me with some of this grief. Grief of Radha and Krishna. So, what happened? His grief, his mood of separation became so intense and so pure and so deep and powerful that he attracted Krishna's attention. And this is what bhajan is all about. Bhajan is all about attracting Krishna's attention. Krishna, hear my prayers. Krishna, hear my chanting. Krishna, reciprocate with me. So then Krishna appeared in his dream, Swapna. Krishna came in his dream and said, I am here. I want to reciprocate with your love. I'm here in the Govardhan, just on the side of Govardhan, the Gopal Prakat Stali. Gopal Prakat Stali is about 1 kilometer this way, towards Anyur. That's where Gopal Nachi manifested from the side of Govardhan Hill in the bushes. Gopal Prakat Stali, it's there. Maybe you've seen. So then Krishna appeared. Here I am, Nathji. I am your Nath. Remember, you're saying, what are you praying? You're here on the banks of Govindakund, and you're praying. I dina dayarda nath dehe matura nath kada avalokise kada. Where are you? What am I supposed to do? How can I live without seeing you? Avalokise. So my Nath has now become Maturanath, Brajanath, Radhanath. You are Radhanath. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dinabandhu, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radhakanta, Radhakant. He's Radhakant. So you're Radhanath, Radhakant. So then he appeared and said, no, I'm here. I'm Nathji, I'm here in the bushes. So then in Radhabhav, then he ran and dug out the bushes and found Nathji. Sri Nathji. How many have had darshan of Sri Nathji? Raise your hand. Sri Nathji is in Rajasthan, in Nathdwara. A few. You should definitely go see sometime. Very beautiful deity. And since everyone likes Mahaprasadam, very wonderful Mahaprasadam. Too good. Big. Laddu is this big.
Full of,
cashews and all kinds of things. No, this, yeah, they have other ones, this one. They have one big, they sell blocks, they sell sweets by the block, by the brick. Like you can buy a sweet that's about as big as a brick, a building brick. It's about this big, And solid cashews. Cashews and sugar cost about 3,000-4,000 rupees. And it, of course, you usually buy a little piece. Buy a little section. And it's unforgettable. You feel like you're having direct darshan of Krishna. So now this verse is there. I'll read the translation. Oh my Lord, who are most compassionate to the poor, you're merciful to the wretched. Oh Master, oh Lord of Mathura, when shall I see you? Kada, kada, kada. Because I cannot see you, my heart is very much aggrieved and agitated. Oh Dayata, oh most beloved, now I am Brahmyati, I am Brahm. I am totally overwhelmed in your separation, and I don't know what I should do. Kim karom. Daita Brahmyati Kim karom yaham. It sounds, what does this verse sound like? What does this verse sound like? Daita Brahmyati Kim karom yaham. I nanda tanuja kinkaram, 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 kim, kinkaram means kimkaram, kinkaram means kinkari, kinkari bhav, kinkar, kinkar bhav, kinkari bhav, kimkaram yaham, how may I serve you? Because I am after all a servant. So this is the place of this bhav, this is the place of Madhavendra Puri, this is the place where bhakti has begun from his heart, this Braja Bhakti, Madhurya Bhakti, Viraha Bhav. So Prabhupada said we should engage in Vipralamba Seva. We should learn to serve Radha and Krishna in Vipralamba Seva. So we should pray to Madhavendra Puri that this mood of Vipralamba will come inside of us. Now something very curious described in some of the books about the yearly worship of the Brijvasis, because once Giriraj manifested, he said, I'm very happy if you worship me. So every year, when Krishna's seventh year, his eighth year, his ninth year, his tenth year, which was the last year he was in Vrindavan, the Brijvasis, they were worshipping Govardhan Hill. It was sitting like this. Just like every year, we worship Govardhan Hill in our temples. We make big prasad, big anukut, and we have dramas and plays and lectures and kirtan. Giridhari Lal. So Brijbasis, they were also doing every year, and they still do every year. There's some very nice description about that. This, of course, occurs during Kartik. All the gopas from Yavat and Barsana and Nandagram, they came for the celebration. Nanda Maharaj arranged tents. Big tents for everyone to stay in. The gopas, they milked the cows and they spent the night beside Govardhan. At night, Radha and Krishna, they snuck out of their camps to enjoy evening Rasa Lila in Vrindavan before returning to camp before sunrise. That day, the gopas cleaned the whole area from Manasi Ganga all the way to Govinda Kund. So if someone wants to engage in some nice seva, they can come and sweep and clean sometime in winter time or whenever it's cool. Sweep the area from Manasi Ganga all the way to Govinda Kund in the mood of the Brijvasis, preparing for the worship of Govardhan Hill. Vrishabhanu stayed in blue tents. Very interesting. Vrishabhanu is the father of Radharani, Bhanunandini Radha. And they had the tents were colored, different colors. So all the tents that they were staying in were dark blue in color. Why is that? Because Radharani's favorite color is Sham Karang. So then her father, somehow or other, he had all his tents were blue. And what color were Nanda Maharaj's tents? You can guess. Yeah, Nanda Maharaj, all the tents for Nanda, Yashoda, Balaram, Madhav Mangal, the coward boys, Raktak and Patrak and Rohini and everybody, they were yellow tents because Radharani is Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhana Sute Devi, Pranamami, Hari Priya, Radha Rani Ki Jai. Jaya Jaya Radhe, Jaya Jaya Sham, Jaya Jaya Shri Vrindavan Dham. Radhe Jaya Jaya Sham, Jaya Jaya Shri Vrindavan Dham. Vrindavan Shri Radha Rani Ki Jai, Shri Dham Vrindavan Ki Jai. Shri Dham Vrindavan. Is it Shri Dham named after her brother? Or is it Shri Dham? Shri Dham or Shri Dham? It can be Shri Dham named after her brother Shri Dham or older brother, Radharani's elder brother. Or it's Shri Dham. Shri Dham means the abode, the sweet abode. So Abhimanyu, who is Abhimanyu? Abhimanyu is the so-called mother, so-called husband of Radharani. What color tent was he saying, he's staying in? Abhimanyu. And by the way, the word Abhimanyu means always angry. Like, yes, he was, someone said red for Krishna, but Abhimanyu was staying in red tent. Because people that are really angry and passionate, they love the color red. They always buy red cars and wear red sweaters and red socks and things. Because they're very passionate. And that's the color of Rajagun. So he's angry, so he's passionate. So everybody bathes in Manasi Ganga, they dress and ornament themselves and they eat. Radha and Krishna meet at Radha and Kunt for the usual midday pastimes. At night, they enjoy a rasa dance near Chandra Sarovara, which is over here near Aniyur. The next day is Amavasya, Diwali. Nanda Baba erects canopies near Manasi Ganga and cleanses all the bathing ghats before starting the lamp festival. Then he offers an auspicious feast to the local brahmanas. In the morning, Radharani and the gopis cook sweet rice, sabjis and rice they offer to Maharaj Nanda's deity of Lord Narayan, and they distribute all the prasadam to the Brijvasis. After chewing pan, everyone returns to their tents. After a brief rest, this is Amavasya, the next day is Pratipat, when they worship Govardhan Puja. After a brief rest, Radhika meets Krishna Chandra in a Nikunja by Govardhan Hill. Returning to her father's camp, Radharani prepares sweets for daily worship of the sun god. This is a big feast. So then they mid-pastimes. After milking the cows, the gopas meet at Manasi Ganga and offer their ghee lamps. Thousands of glowing ghee lamps are illuminating the birds and trees and animals in the ground and a lake with a golden splendor. This fascinates and gladdens all the Brijvasis as they worship Manasi Ganga on Amavasya night. At night, Radha and Krishna again meet for a rasa dance at Chandra Sarovara. This is like, they also meet there oftentimes, Govardhan, especially in springtime. The day after Deepavali, this is actually Nitya Leela that's going on. In a spiritual world, they're also doing Deepavali, they're also doing Govardhan Puja every year in a grand way. Nanda Baba engages the Govardhan Brahmanas in offering Panchamrit Abhishek to Giraj. And with yogurt, milk, honey, everything to Govardhan. Then they cook sweets and varieties of sweets, rice, rotis, vegetables, and place them upon leaf plates before Govardhan Hill. It's a very nice practice. Anyone lives in Vrindavan, they can cook a feast sometimes and come here and put leaf plates here on Govardhan Puja Day and have your own puja of Govardhan. We do also every year. We come to Govardhan and we do a bathing and puja there. It's very nice. If you live in Vrindavan, usually there's a temple function, everybody goes, whatever that is. It's also nice if you happen to be fortunate to be in Vrindavan during Kartik to get a group of friends and come out here and organize direct puja. Bring Panchamrit and Panchagavya and all kinds of sweets and cook all kinds of nice things and have artik and bhog offering and kirtan and read the glories, different verses, Govardhan Astakam and Dwadashka Astakam. Very rewarding. Well, this is what the Brijvasis are doing, so we're following their footsteps. At least trying to. So what happens here is in one form, Krishna is sitting beside Nanda Maharaj. Then in another huge form, Krishna sits on Giriraj. And with his long arms, he grabs all the offerings and at once and eats everything. So this happens every year, that Krishna manifests from Govardhan. He eats everything at once. And everyone says, oh! Then Krishna, who is sitting next to Nanda Maharaj, looking at this big Krishna eating everything, oh, Baba! Baba! Just see how Giriraj has eaten everything. In joyful amazement, the cowherd men watch Giriraj finish his meal and accept huge amounts of paan and garlands and sandalwood paste offered lovingly by the Brijvasis. The local brahmanas offer a huge ghee lamp in arti to Giriraj, Krishna, and all the gopis offer full obeisances to Giriraj, who blessed everyone and then disappeared. When asked what pleased him most, then he said the same thing when you circumambulate me. So as usual, then after the puja, everyone takes rest, they do prikrama. Nanda feeds the brahmanas and gives them so much charity, silk and garments. Then Radha and Krishna meet in a Giri Nikunj, which is a grove besides Govardhan Hill. And they walk back to their camps, and at midday, they meet again for their usual fun at Radhakund. So this is just a description of the Nitya Leela, where Radha and Krishna, all the Brijvasis, Nanda Baba, they gather and they worship Govardhan. So this is an eternal pastime. So, of course, we're just sitting in one place, and there's so many pastime places all around here, Manasi Ganga here and there, and all these different places. We've been concentrating on Govardhan, Giriraj, because he's so important, or he's right here. So Krishna likes nothing more than to hear his own glories, Uttama Shloka. So speaking his glories and hearing his glories is probably the perfection of life. No one can argue that. And good shelter. On one side we have the hard rocks of Govardhan, who appear very hard but actually very soft. And behind us we have Govinda Kund, which is very soft water, very refreshing water, which is actually the Charanamrita from Krishna's body. When they bathe, Krishna had all gathered over there. There's a nice pastime. Just, where's Sankarshan Kund? Yeah, Sankarshan Kund is up here. At the end of Aniyor is Sankarshan Kund. And a little bit off to the east is a place called Gauri Tirtha. Gauri Tirtha is, of course, the place where Chandravali worships Durga, Ma Durga. Because the Brijvasis would worship different devas and devis. Nanda Maharaj, of course, he worshipped Lakshmi Narayan deity. But Chandravali worshipped Durga. And Radharani worshipped Surya. And Suryakund, Surya Bhagavan. And she's called Bano Nandini, which means, of course, the daughter of the sun. Bano means sun. So this very nice, interesting pastime took place here in Gauri Tirtha. And we're going to hear about that. Where Krishna actually becomes Durga. Very interesting change of... Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna becomes Durga. We would rather have Durga become Krishna. We're surrounded by Durga. Everywhere Durga. This world is Durga. Durga, Durgati. Very difficult to move in this world. So we're... we would rather have Durga become Krishna. We'd rather pray that Durga manifests as Krishna. So instead of seeing Durga everywhere, Mahamaya, an illusion, and being affected by Durga's potencies of avaranantik... Avaran Atmika and what's the other one? Pratyaksha Atmika. That she covers, Avaran means to cover. Maya covers the jiva with forgetfulness and then rejects him. Throws him into this ocean of suffering, birth and death. So this is Durga and Mahamaya. So we'd rather see Mahamaya become, disguise herself as Krishna. Let her become Krishna and display her Karshani, her Samkarshani, Sankarshani Shakti. Sankarshani means the power of attraction. Karsha means to attract completely. We would like to be completely attracted to Krishna. We would like Durga and Mahamaya and everything in this world to act in such a way that it attracts us to Krishna, increases our attraction to Krishna. We see everyone as a person to increase our attraction for Krishna. And we see every object or every place as an object or place to increase our attraction for Krishna, Sankarshani, Krishna Sankarshani. This we would like to see Durga manifest as Krishna. But in this pastime, Krishna is manifesting as Durga. So this is her, Chandravali, this is her Ishtadev, Durga, and she's a Vipaksha Sakhi, she's a little bit contrary against Radharani, you can say. So she uses the excuse to do Gauri Puja to get out of the house and meet with Krishna, just as Radharani uses the excuse to do Surya Puja to escape her mother-in-law, Jatila, and her sister-in-law, Kutila, to run away from Java to meet with Krishna in Madhyan Kal in Radhakund. So she uses that excuse. One time, when Krishna was, he got confused when he was, sometimes he would meet Chandravali at Gauri Tirtha. Gauri Tirtha, of course, is a temple of Gauri. Gauri means Durga. But nearby there's many kunjas. And Krishna would meet with Chandravali in those Gauri kunjas. Radharani comes to Suryakund and she leaves all the puja paraphernalia there. And then she comes to Radhakund to meet Krishna for 6 hours. Many pastimes. Holy Leela, Jalkeli, Vanvihar, and Bhojan. Many, many. Madhupan Leela, many pastimes are there. Similarly, Chandravali comes and she comes to do puja, Gauri Tirtha, and then she meets Krishna at Gauri Temple, Durga Temple. Then she meets Krishna in Gauri Tirtha. So one time, Krishna was enjoying with Chandravali, who is actually Radharani's sister, cousin sister, the daughter of her father's brother, Vrishabhanu, Chandrabhanu. Vrishabhanu, Radharani. Chandrabhanu, Chandravali. So when Krishna was, he got confused because he's, you know, from moment to moment, hour to hour, he's with one gopi, another gopi, this one gopi. It gets confusing. He doesn't, you know, my Lalita Vishaka, Rangadevi, Sudevi, Radharani, Padma, Shaibya, you know. He has so many girlfriends, he may get confused. Like people have different cell phones. In Delhi, the people have cell phones, one for the two boyfriends, two cell phones, and one cell phone for the husband, one for the kids. So they're in the pocketbook and they're ringing. These modern people. Ding, ding, hello. Yes, yes, Pati. I mean, Prabhu. Hi. Hi. How are you? Yeah, fine. And so, yeah, different cell phones with different conversations. So Krishna also gets confused. So one time he was with Chandravali and he said, Krishna said, Radhe. Are you all right? You feeling all right? As soon as Chandravali heard Radharani's name, she became very irritated and she replied sarcastically, Maharaj Kamsa? Hey, Kamsa Maharaj, are you all right? I'm fine, Maharaj Kamsa, are you all right? So as she replied to him, she's a little hot-headed also. She called him Kans. Hey, King Kans. So this is a little bit that goes on in Gauri Tirtha. So now the pastime itself will tell how Krishna came to go there and disguise himself as Durga. This pastime is described in Vidugdha Madhav by Rupa Goswami. It's a very, very sad story here. One day in Yavat, Abhimanyu, the so-called husband of Radharani, he decided to move his family, his mother and sister and his wife, to Mathura and leave Vrindavan so he could get far, far away from Krishna, who was always running after his wife, Radharani. So before he left Vrindavan, Abhimanyu went to seek the blessings of Purnamasi, who is the guru for all the Brijvasis. Purnamasi, when she heard the news, she was totally shocked. Leave? You're leaving Vrindavan? Purnamasi convinced Abhimanyu that all the rumors, he was hearing so many rumors about his wife and Shamsundar and this and that. And she was saying, no, 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 these are only rumors. Don't listen to these rumors. So many rumors are spread. Listen, I know the facts. I am senior, elderly gopi here. I'm all pervading. I know what's the hearts of everyone. All this is made up. It's not really true. It's not like this at all. And then Purnamasi said, listen, I'll give you an idea. Only if you can catch Radha and Krishna together, then, if you can do that and prove to yourself unequivocally or absolutely that yes, it's a fact, your wife is cheating on you and meeting with Krishna, if you see them, catch them red-handed directly, if you can catch them together, then I give you full blessings to move to Mathura. Otherwise, you have, there's no basis for your movement to Mathura. You're simply responding to some false rumors. Abhimanyu asked Purnamasi to train Radharani to worship Gauri, because Abhimanyu heard from his friend Govardhan Mala. Govardhan Mala is the husband of Chandravali. Abhimanyu heard, he said one day, hey Abhimanyu, you know my wife Chandravali, she's worshipping every day, she's worshipping Durga. Ma Durga. Jai Matadi. I'm getting so many blessings from her. We become very, Durga's blessing, so many cows, we have so many wealth. You should engage your wife, Radharani. Forget this Surya Puja, she's not getting anything from that. You should engage, you should have her train up and learn how to worship Durga like my wife. So then, remembering that, Abhimanyu asked this Brahmin lady, Purnamasi, because she's the mother of Sandipani Muni, so she's also a Brahmin, and the grandmother of Madhubangal, said, can you please train my wife to worship Gauri? Because, and I'll become very wealthy. So then, after learning the puja procedures from Purnamasi, Radharani went to Gauri temple. On the way, Krishna blocked Radharani's path, and an argument ensued between Radha and Krishna. Radharani chastised Krishna, what are you doing? Get away from here. And she went away to pick flowers. Meanwhile, some of the spies reported to Abhimanyu that his wife Radharani was meeting Krishna at Gauri Tirtha. Abhimanyu heard this news. He was thinking, now I will catch them together. Abhimanyu immediately left for Gauri Tirtha, hoping to catch Radha and Krishna together. Realizing what was happening, Krishna disguised himself as Gauri, and he stood directly in front of the Gauri temple, directly in front of the murti or the deity of Devi, of Goddess Durga, inside the Gauri temple. So now there were two, one in front of the other. Radharani entered the temple and began worshipping that deity of Gauri. Which deity of Gauri? The first one. The nearest one. There was one deity of Gauri there. It was actually Krishna standing like Durga. And behind is another deity. So Radharani is, somehow Krishna has made this arrangement, so Radharani is forced to worship him. Very interesting. Because usually Krishna is worshipping Radharani, as you know. He's offering arti, he's remembering her, chanting her name, bathing her, painting her feet, decorating her hair, picking flowers for her. Krishna's always engaged in worshipping Radharani. So now the tables are turned. And now, by this trick, Krishna's forced Radharani to worship him in the form of Durga in the temple. So she's worshipping. Without knowing that Krishna was disguised as a deity, Abhimanyu and his mother Chitila rushed into the temple, hoping to catch Radha and Krishna together. Abhimanyu boomed in a loud voice, aha!
Today, we've caught you red-handed.
Hearing Abhimanyu's angry voice, Radharani fell flat like a stick on the ground. So Radharani's fallen on the temple floor, astonished. Suddenly, Jatila noticed a brilliant divine light coming from the Gauri deity. The Brajagopis suddenly arrived at the Gauri temple and they praised Abhimanyu for engaging Radharani in worshipping Gauri Devi. The Brajagopis said, "Oh, Abhimanyu, Prabhu, just see! Gauri Devi is so pleased with Radha's puja. She has stepped out of the deity and she's now standing before us. Sakshat Durga." Not a Murti, but such original Durga here like this. Abhimanyu asked the Brajagopis what boon Radharani was praying for when she was worshipping. And the Brajagopis said, "Oh, you don't know?" Radharani prayed to Gauri to remove a great disaster that's about to happen to Abhimanyu. Disaster? Abhimanyu became frightened and he asked, Gauri Devi was directly there. He said, "Is it going to be a disaster? Gauri, what is this disaster?" So he asked Gauri Devi to explain. So now Gauri, the deity, personified deity of Gauri, who's actually Krishna. Krishna Gauri, Gauri Krishna. Gaura Hari. Gauri. So she turns and says, "Brinda Devi, you please explain to Abhimanyu what great disaster is about to befell him." So Brinda Devi explains, "Oh, Abhimanyu, don't you know that King Kans in Mathura, he's coming, he has a plan to come here to cut your head off. He's going to behead you. And he's going to offer your head to Lord Shiva 2 days from now." Ay, ay, ay. Jatila was most horrified. The mother of Abhimanyu, she immediately begged Gauri Devi, "Please, oh Durga Ma, oh Ma, please save my son Abhimanyu. Don't let Kansa cut his head off. Please, Durga, oh Ma, oh Ma. Ma, oh Ma, Ma." Jai Mata Di. Radharani suddenly stood up and returned to external consciousness. And she also prayed to Gauri Devi to please save Abhimanyu. Then the goddess Gauri spoke a benediction, told to Radharani. And then Gauri Devi said, "Radharani, you're begging me and asking me to save the life of your husband Abhimanyu, but I am sorry, that is not possible." And then Radharani pleaded, "Oh Gauri Devi," this is Radharani praying to Krishna, it's Gauri Devi, "Oh Gauri Devi, please, I beg you. I cannot live without my Swami." This has double meaning. Swami means master, Swami means husband, Swami means Krishna. Swami and Swamini. Swamini Radha. Swamini Shri Radha. So, "Oh, Gauri Devi, please, I cannot be anath. I have to have my master. I can't live. Please protect my Swami, my husband. I'm young." Gauri Devi responded, "I am not interested in the prayers of yogis and sages. However, because Radharani has bound me with her love and devotion to me, Gauri, I am forced to bless this young girl, this young beta, this daughter-like girl. I am forced to bless this Radharani. But otherwise,
Yogis, rishis, they pray and pray and pray. I don't listen to them, to their requests for boons and benedictions. But because this girl, this Natani, has worshipped me with such devotion, I am compelled. I must benedict her. Well, but under one condition. I will fulfill her desire to protect her husband under one condition. What is that condition? Gauri spoke. Abhimanyu, before me, with all my 10 arms, Abhimanyu must promise never, never, never take Radharani out of Brajadham. Then I will save his life. Otherwise, his head will go to Shiva in 2 days. Jatila praised Radharani for saving Abhimanyu's life. Brindadevi chimed in. Actually, hey, listen. Abhimanyu, day after day, he's wrongly accusing his chaste wife Radha of infidelity. And by doing that, he's cut short his own lifespan. Gauri Devi also told Abhimanyu that Radharani was his source of good fortune. He should never mistrust her. Abhimanyu turned to his mother Jatila and said, "We should immediately return to Yavat and cancel all our travel plans to go to Mathura." Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. Radha Rani ki jai. So Gauri Devi saved the day. Gauri Devi kept Radharani from leaving Vrindavan. So Krishna will go to any extent. He'll go to any extent to be with his devotees and to protect his devotees. He'll disguise himself as Gauri or anyone or anything to save his devotees. So Krishna became Gauri. Very, very beautiful. Very beautiful place also. It's not very far. It's about, when you go to Sankarshan Kund on the Prikomarg, which is about 15 minutes from here, from right here you can walk to Gauri Tirth in about 35 minutes. Not very far. Gopal Govinda Mero He, Gopal Mero He. Now, this is, as I told you, Krishna disguises himself and changes his form to suit the devotees and to suit the pastime. This is once during the Rasalila. In springtime at Chandra Sarovara. Because Govardhan Giriraj is the site of Rasalila, Vrindavan, Yamuna Pulina, Bamshibat, all that whole area there, Dir Samir, after Keshigat, that's also the site of Rasalila, Sevakunj, Shringharvat, that's also Rasalila, Maharas, 10th canto. And then also Radhakund, the banks of Radhakund and the groves and forests, that's also a place of Rasalila. And these are the main places, Radhakund and Govardhan, especially here on this side, Punchari, Chandra Sarovara. So one time in the spring Ras, which is so beautifully depicted by Jayadev Goswami in the Gita Govinda, by Jayadev Goswami, he describes the spring Rasa dance. Vasant, it's called Vasant Ras. One time in the Ras Lila, Krishna, he left the Rasa dance. He wanted to see the gopis and test their love. So he wandered away from the Rasastali here at Punchari and this Rasastali here. He went near Chandra Sarovar to a village called Paita Gram. And there he was hiding in one kunja. It's very nicely described, this pastime. It's also mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's described also. So everyone was, all the gopis were very grief-stricken, and they're searching everywhere for Krishna. So seeing the gopis were approaching, many gopis, although Radharani wasn't there, many gopis were approaching, and he didn't know where to hide, so he was just out near a kunja. So then he disguised himself as Narayan, Chaturbhuj Narayan, with four arms. Because, of course, Krishna is Sarva Avatari. Narayan's within him, Vishnu,
the Sringa, everyone is within Krishna, all the different forms and avatars. So he disguised himself. Then the gopis, they came, and they saw Vishnu there, and they weren't excited. They weren't, and you could imagine, they're in Nara Leela, they're thinking themselves like coward girls, just thinking like human beings, not having all kinds of ideas of greatness. And all of a sudden, a god appears, Sakshat Bhagavan. Bhagavan Sakshat, directly they're seeing Bhagavan as Vishnu. He's standing right in front of them. And how do they respond? They start offering stutis and puja and prayers. And do they start offering obeisances and becoming astonished? They say, oh, oh Narayan, Radhisham. I mean, Narayan. And they just fold their hands and say, Dandavats. Dandavats, Narayan. Have you seen Shamsundar? Shamkahan. Shamkahan, where is Shamsundar? And they didn't. But then later, Lalita, Vishaka, a few Sakis and Radharani, they came wandering, and Krishna saw them. And again he put, oh, okay, now I'll fool them. I'll play a joke with them. So then they came, and as soon as Radharani came, Krishna smelled her beautiful fragrance of her body, like musk and sandalwood and lotus flower, all these beautiful fragrances, kasturi. And then he was starting to tremble. His forearms were starting to tremble. His heart was trembling. His mind was trembling. And Radharani came and folded her hands and said, Narayan, Narayan, have you seen Shamsundar? And as soon as he heard Radharani say Shamsundar, you know, Sham, then Nam Rup Gun Leela. Because when Radharani says Sham, then all her heart is in that name. Like we chant Hare Krishna, we chant the Maha Mantra, but is our heart in our chanting? Is our mind in our chanting? Is our being in our chanting? Is our life in our chanting? Mantan, Mantan Dan Nam Samarpan. Worship the holy name with our mind and our words and our life. Dan means your wealth. Your wealth is nothing more than your pran, your pranadhan. Your pranadhan, your wealth is your prana, your life, your breath. This is our wealth. The prana is gone, our body is gone, our life is gone, we're dead. So, man, tan, dan, nam, samarpan. So this is how Radharani chants, when she chants Shamsundar. Have you seen Shamsundar? Then Krishna hears that name. He's not just hearing a vibration, Shamsundar. He's feeling Radharani's full mahabhav and separation also. So then, the forearms, the two arms disappear, and a flute appears in his hand. He assumes his gopal form as a fresh youth holding his flute. And then Krishna begged forgiveness from Radharani. And Radharani said, when I did not see you... Oh, what happened actually? That Radharani left the Rasa dance, and then Krishna went looking for her. And then they both got lost and separated from each other. So then Krishna actually, at this time, he begged forgiveness for Radharani. When I did not see you at the Rasa dance in Govardhan, I became aggrieved in separation, and I began searching everywhere for you. I perform Rasa Leela only for your pleasure. Please never go into Man and never leave me again. So Vasanti Ras establishes Radharani's speciality over the other Brajagopis. And so this is her speciality. Of course, Krishna left everyone to come find Radharani. This is so much beautiful place. You can go there. Very, very beautiful deity. It was established by King Bajranav 5,000 years ago, a Narayan deity. And said Krishna. It's actually Krishna, the form of Narayan. That's only about 20 minutes from here. Very beautiful place. If you're spending more time in Vrindavan, you can go visit this place. It's a very rasa-filled place. Once Nanda Maharaj, he gathered all his family members, and he decided to go on a yatra, a pilgrimage. He wanted to take Krishna and Balaram and leave Vrindavan and go on pilgrimage, visit all the holy places like Haridwar, Badrinath, Kedarnath, and Prayag, where the Kumbh Mela is held at the confluence of the sacred rivers Ganga, Jamuna, and Saraswati, Triveni. Just when Nanda Maharaj's party crossed over Govardhan Hill at Don Gati, they saw a big black horse speeding towards them. The driver was a king, all decked out with gold and jewels and a crown. But he was totally black in color. That king was very, very dark. Needless to say, this was a most unusual sight. But generally, the higher class people in India are very light and fair in color. Gauri Rang. There are exceptions, but especially in those days, Nanda Maharaj himself is golden color. That black king approached Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj welcomed him with folded hands and kind words and said,
"My dear Maharaj, please tell me who you are."
The king replied,
"I am Prayagraj, also known as Tirtharaj, the king of all the holy places.
But you see, every year thousands of people come to my place at Prayag, and they bathe in the sacred Ganga Jamuna Saraswati at the Triveni. And as a result of that Punya Snan, Tirtha Snan, they leave all their sins there, and they come upon me. And consequently, my ordinarily beautifully effulgent golden complexion has now become this ugly, dark, black color which you are perceiving. So every year, after Kumbh Mela, once a year, I come here to Brajadham, and I roll in the dust of Braj. Why? Because this Brajaraj, besides Govardhan, is Pavitram. It's the most purifying. It is full of purity, full of Pavitram and Leelam and Namam and mercy and Kripa. Everything is in this dust. So after I roll in this dust again, my beautiful golden complexion returns and I ride back to Prayag. I become purified and freed from all those sins and ready to go back and rule my kingdom at Prayag. After meeting Tirtharaj and hearing this story, Nanda Maharaj decided to stay in Braj and canceled his pilgrimage to holy places. Vrindavan Dham ki jai. So this was an intelligent move. So this is the dust of Vrindavan that we're all sitting on and relishing. So I want to glorify the dust of Vrindavan and then mention something about... It's kind of like this class will end, have a dry ending and a wet ending. This class will end on a dry note, and the class will end on a wet note. And so I say, this is very interesting. I said, today's talk will end on a dry note. It will end on a wet note, and it will end on a sweet note, because we published a little book called Sweet Notes. It just happened to end up like this, and this is how the class. But this is a. This is a book. It says Guru to Disciple. There's different instructions from Guru to Disciple. This is called it's alphabetically listed, so we look up here under... this is under time. There's entries like Seva, Spiritual Life, Struggle, Success, Suffering, Surrender, Tongue, Vaishnava's Water, Family Life, Fault Finding, Fear, Freedom, God, Gratitude, etc. So this is about time. What was is past... What is won't last. At all times be steadfast. Chant Hare Krishna and have a blast. Anyway, so that's that. So now what is the dry note? That was the sweet note. Now go back to the dry note. The dry note is the dust of Vrindavan. The glories of the dust of Vrindavan. Because the acharyas say there are three very valuable assets in the holy dhams of Bharatvarsha. And each one of these assets and attributes can give one Krishna prema. In Mayapur, that special asset that's deposited there is Nam Sankirtan, Kirtan. Everyone, what does everyone say in Mayapur, Navadvip? Everyone says what? Hari bol, Hari bol, Hari bol.
Hari bol, Hari bol, Hari bol. Hari bol, Hari bol, Hari bol. Gora Hari Hari Gora Hari Gora Hari Gora Hari Gaura Hari Bol, Gaura Hari Bol. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Hari Bol. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Hari Bol.
So Mayapur, Navadvip, is a place everyone's telling us, and everyone's reminding us when we go there, we should chat, chat, chat. Bol, bol, bol means chant, chant, chant. Chant Hari, Hari, Hari. Chant the name of Hari. Because this is Radharani's favorite name. Hari means, oh Krishna, come, you're a Hari, you're a Har, you're a Har, you're a thief. Come and steal my heart. Hari, Hari. Well, this is Radharani's favorite name. So Gauranga is always chanting, Hari, Hari, Hari. Because he's a golden lord. He's a golden lord. He's golden with Radharani's complexion. He's Radharani with Radharani's complexion, always chanting, Hari. Hari, come, oh, Hari, you're the thief, you're a lion. Where are you? Come and steal my heart. Oh, lion-like lover, lion-like protector, lion-like beloved. Hari, Hari. And you're golden, so then he becomes Gaura Hari. Gaura Hari, Gaura Hari, Gaura Hari. So therefore, even to this day, 500 years later, everyone in Mayapur is chanting Hari, Hari, Hari. Because that's what Gauranga was chanting. Hari, Hari, Hari. Where is my Hari? Hari, Hari, Hari Kaha, Hari, Hari Kotai, Hari Kautai. Where is my Hari? Where is my Krishna? So there one attains Krishna Prem very easily and quickly by engaging in Nam Sankirtan. Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And if one goes to Jagannath Puri, there's some special asset in Jagannath Puri, as a special asset of Mayapur Dham, is this chanting Nam Sankirtan. The special asset of Puri is Ma Prasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnave Sopampanyavatara Jan Vishvaso Navajayate Jagannath Mahaprasade Ki Jai. So there, the special asset is Chappan Bhog, Jagannath's Mahaprasad. We get the Mahaprasad, and then Prem Prapti. This is Kripa. This is the Mahaprasad. So then you come to Brajadam. Brajadam, Uddhava Mahashaya, Shiva, Brahma, Lakshmi Devi, all the great saints, Madhavendra Puri, Nityananda, Advaita, Madhvacharya, Nimbark, everyone comes to Braj, rolls in the dust of Braj and prays to the Brajaraj. Brajaraj. So here the Brajaraj is to be worshipped, to be honored, to be remembered, to be served, to be lived in, to be eaten, to be remembered. So here in Brajadam one can attain very quickly and easily Krishna praying by worshipping the dust of Vrindavan and sticking to the dust of Vrindavan and glorifying the dust of Vrindavan. So this is the dry note, is the dust of Vrindavan. So there's some beautiful quotations describing the dust of Vrindavan. And Prabhupada also mentions one, which we've read before, but we want to hear. Asamaho chana renu jusham mahamsyam Vrindavane kim apigoma lato sadinham Yadustya jam swajanam aryapatam chahitwa Bejam Mukunda Padavim Shuti Birmi Vimrigyam. Buddha Mahashaya prayed to the gopis. The Braja gopis have abandoned the association of their husbands, sons, and family, which are very difficult to give up. They have forsaken the path of chastity, Aryapat, to take shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda Krishna, which is searched for by Vedic knowledge. Let me be fortunate enough become one of the bushes, creepers, or herbs. Goma lata, oshadi. In Vrindavan. So the gopis will trample me and bless me with the dust of their feet. Asam aho charna renu jusam. Charna renu jusam means the dust of the feet of the gopis. This Govardhan Prikomarg, this whole Brajadam is sprinkled with the dust of the feet of the gopis. Then he says, Vande Brajasrinam Padarenam Abhikshnasha Yasam Hari Gatod Gitam Punati Bhavam Trayam. I, Uddhav Mahashaya, forever pray to the dust of the lotus feet of the gopis in Nandagaon. The Hari Gita emanating from their lotus mouths in their mood of separation purifies the entire universe. And Brahma prays, let me take birth as a rock on the border of Nanda Gokul. The ladies will sweep the streets. At the end of the day, they will rub their feet on my body as a rock. And they will clean off their feet, and I will be blessed by the touch of the dust of the gopis' feet when they clean their feet. Sometimes your feet get dirty. You find some rock, and you rub it on the rock, and then put it in the water. So Brahma's praying like that. So this is, and then Radhara Sudaniti, Saraswati Pad prays. Paro tat para kankitashu, charatam brinda tavi vitushu. May my feet traverse the paths of Brajadham, which are marked with the footprints of Radharani. While wandering in Govardhan Hill, Vrindavan, Nandagan, Varsana, we should always keep this feeling in our hearts. Oh, I'm here at Govardhan at Govinda Kund. Radharani is regularly walking on this footpath. And this footpath is sprinkled with the dust of Radharani's feet. And she's meeting Krishna in the caves of this very Govardhan Hill. And she's dancing with Krishna in the forests and valleys of this Govardhan Hill. And the same dust is here. Krishna left this dust here. So how much worshipable is this dust? How much honorable is this dust? And venerable is this dust? Every single particle. My Swamini Radhika traverses this path to meet her Pranakanth Sri Krishna, the beloved of her heart. Every single particle of this dust of Vrindavan is mixed with the dust of Srimati Radharani's lotus feet and filled with Premakaranda, the nectar pollen of pure love. May our bodies always be ornamented with the dust particles fallen from Radha's lotus feet. Our hearts should long and yearn and hanker to touch the dust of Vrindavan, which is mixed with Kishori's love for Krishna. This is in Radharas Sudaniti, a book by Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. Beautiful prayer. He says, our hearts should long for, yearn, and hanker to touch the dust of Vrindavan. What is this dust of Vrindavan? It is mixed with Kishori's love for Krishna. So that means that her body is Mahabhav Sarupini. Mahabhav Sarupini Radharani ki? So if she walks, then the dust collects on her feet. As soon as it touches her feet, it becomes surcharged with her love. And when it falls off her feet, then those dust particles are full of Radharani's Mahabhav. For example, if you have a magnet, you know magnet? Chumbak? Chumbak. And you take a piece of iron, and you rub that piece of iron on the magnet. What happens to that piece of iron? It becomes like a magnet. If you rub, isn't it? You rub a piece of iron on that magnet and keep it there for some time. Then you take that piece of iron, which does not have the quality of attraction or magnetic pull or attraction, but it gets it. And now when you go, it can attract other pieces of metal. So this dirt, when Radharani's walking on a footpath and the dirt sticks on her feet. It's just pieces of particles of Brajaraj. But when it sticks on Radharani's feet, it becomes magnetized. It becomes surcharged with her magnetic force of her love for Krishna, with the magnetic attraction of her Mahabhav. That power goes into the dust particles. That's why Prabhupada Saraswati is saying that. So as she walks and the particles of dust fall off her feet, then those dust particles now are surcharged with the love of Radharani. Just like the particle of iron or the piece of iron becomes surcharged with the power of magnetism by associating with the magnet. So the particles of Brajaraj, the dust particles, become surcharged with Radharani's Mahabhav because of connection with Radharani. A very easy way to understand it. So this dust is so wonderful. Prabhupada makes a nice statement also in this regard. We can see that also. And we mentioned this before, because some people say, oh, dirt is dirt, my clothes are dirty, I have dirt, I have dust on my feet. What is this, Brajaraj? You're saying it's special, I don't think it's so special, this, that. The Prabhupada was in Hyderabad in South India at his new temple that he was developing there in the 76. And he picked up, it was just a construction site, so he picked up some of the dirt from Hyderabad. And he showed Yashodhananda Swami and Guru Kripa and some other devotees that were with him there. And he said at that time, this is in 1975 actually, in lecture 89, number 89. He said, he picked up this dust and he said, see this dirt? Now I want to ask you a question. He asked them, they were in Hyderabad in South India, why is the dust of Vrindavan worshipable? Why is the dust of Vrindavan worshipable? Krishna Prabhupada asked the devotees in South India. And they said, well, Krishna's Leela is there. And Prabhupada said, because Vrindavan Dham is non-different from Krishna. When you take a little dust from Vrindavan and eat it, it means you're taking the dust of Krishna's lotus feet and eating it. So here, Prabhupada, of course, is a Vrijvasi, Nitya Vasi of Vrindavan, Nitya Siddha devotee, Palyadasi of Radharani. And he is, when he was living in Seva Kunj, at the feet of Radhadamadar, he was regularly, of course, drinking Jamuna water, regularly bathing in Jamuna, as he says in his own words, and regularly drinking the sweet water of Jamuna, and regularly taking some dust from the Samadhi of Rupa Goswami, and some dust from Seva Kunj, and eating it. And here he's speaking in very commonplace terms. Yes, when Prabhupada says here, he says, when you take a little dust from Vrindavan and eat it. So by him saying that, he's assuming that yes, and that devotees are, and you can imagine Prabhupada's disciples, like all of you, are also imagining it. Eat the dust, eat the dirt. You're imagining like that. But Prabhupada is speaking in a very common way. Yes, just like you take some of the brajraj and you eat it. You should understand when you do that, when you eat that dust, which you regularly do, when you eat the dust in Vrindavan, you're actually eating the dust directly from Krishna's lotus feet. So usually people say, I am not so interested in eating the dust from Krishna's feet, but I really want to eat the pakora that came from his mouth. The pakora and the sweet rice that came from Krishna's mouth, and those big fat rasgullas from Krishna Balaram Mandir, and those big fat pieces of burfi, and those big fat ruski handmade cakes, you know, Krishna Balaram cakes. I want to take something from Krishna's mouth and put it in my mouth. I don't want to take something from Krishna's feet, namely the dust, the brajaraj, and put that in my mouth. But if we are a follower of Srila Prabhupada, which we are all aspiring to be and trying our best to be, and he's telling us that, yes, for example, when you take the dust of Vrindavan and eat it, as you all do every day, yes? Yes, Prabhupada, yes. Yes, Prabhupada. He's saying, as you take prasadam every day and you honor it, and before that you say a prayer, yes? You shake, yes, I say a prayer. So in the same vein, it's also a niyam, it's also a daily practice, it's also recommended, it's also expected, it's also understood that we're all doing that, that every day we're taking some dust of Vrindavan and eating it. Now the next question is, you all that live in Vrindavan, are you taking and eating a little dust of Vrindavan every day? Then you can answer that question yourself. And if you are, then you can understand, yes, I'm eating some every day, I'm remembering Srila Prabhupada, I'm remembering Radharani, and I'm remembering Uddhava, and Brahma and all the great devotees, and praying for their mercy, and praying to this dust. And yes, I'm doing that. And then you can consider that, yes, you are a true follower of Srila Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada is telling us here the same point. So it means that you're taking it, eating it. Then he says, and Prabhupada is saying, when you eat a little dust, taking means eating, when you take prasad or eat prasad, when you take a little dust from Vrindavan Dham and eat it, that means you are taking the dust from Krishna's lotus feet and eating it. So my question is anyone interested in eating the dust of Krishna's feet? And of course the answer would be yes, I would hope so. So here it is, there's no shortage. Now if I tell you, go find Krishna's feet and lick them. Go find Krishna's feet and lick them right now. It'd be difficult, because unless we have prema, we can't find those feet. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. We can't even see Krishna's form unless we have prema. And get close enough to lick his feet, we have to be really intimate and really tight and close. So we can't really find his feet very easily, but we can easily get connected with his feet by taking the dust of Vrindavan, which is freely available. It's his merciful representation all over Vrindavan. So Prabhupada concludes by saying, Vrindavan Dham is so important. Vrindavan Dham is an ordinary man cannot see Vrindavan Dham. Shri Dham Vrindavan Ki Jai. So one other time, Prabhupada also spoke. Actually, excuse me, this lecture was spoken in Vrindavan in 1975. There's another lecture, which I was confusing. This lecture was spoken in Vrindavan. So Prabhupada is in Vrindavan. It's 1975. He's with all his disciples in Vrindavan. He's reminding, you're all in Vrindavan? Are you every day taking Vrindavan, Braja Raj? Are you eating some every day? And if you're not, then you should start today. So he was reminding everyone in 75, and now we're reminding everyone in 85 and 95 and 2005 and 2011. You're living in Vrindavan Dham 2 days, 3 days, 1 week, 1 month, whatever. Every day you take a little dust of Vrindavan, you're directly taking the dust of Krishna's feet. We should believe that. We should know that. We should do that, and then we'll realize that. First we believe, Vishwas. Then we understand. First we have some understanding, Vidya. Then some belief, Vishwas. Then there's Karya, or action. And then there's Vigyan, there's realization. Yes! This is the dust of Krishna's feet. And if we're not in Vrindavan, the soil or the earth at the base of Tulsi, that is non-different from Brajaraj. So we take a little Tulsi, little dirt from Tulsi we can eat, or we put on our head, we can also eat. We put Brajaraj on our head, but Prabhupada is telling us not only put Brajaraj on your head, but eat it. So Tulsi Raj, you can put Tulsi Raj on the head and also eat. So when Prabhupada was in Hyderabad, 1 year, there's another tape you can hear, Prabhupada was in Hyderabad, he took the dust of Hyderabad and he said, it's transcendental. The dust of Vrindavan can fulfill all your desires and the dust in Hyderabad can't. That's what he said. He said, this is ordinary dirt in Hyderabad, but this dust in Vrindavan, it can fulfill all your desires because it's Chintamani. And Prabhupada gave you an example at that time in Hyderabad, in 76 maybe. He said, just like if I ask this table, and Prabhupada hit the table. He hit the table. If I ask the table, oh, please get me a mango, the table can't get, because it's unconscious, it's insentient. But if I ask you, you're a conscious being, my disciple, any human being, I say, please bring me a mango, then because you're conscious, you can fulfill my desire, because you're conscious. You have consciousness, and you have consciousness. You're alive, you can move, you can act. You can act and move and fulfill my desire. Somewhere in this planet, somewhere you can get a mango. South Africa, here, there, you can find. So similarly, this dust in Hyderabad is unconscious. It's just bhumirapo nalo vayu kamano evacha. It's just jada prakriti. It's external mayak energy. But the dust of Vrindavan is chintamani bhumi. It is transcendental. It is fully conscious. It is chit. It is chit shakti. It's fully conscious. So you can lift up the dust of Vrindavan and say, dust of Vrindavan, I want a rasgulla. I mean, Mahaprasad. Mahaprasad, rasgulla. And then all of a sudden, the other hand, oh, rasgulla. With tulsi leaf. Oh. Oh, I want, Dasta Vrindavan, I want some burfi, you know, with Tulsi leaf on it. So in my right hand, burfi appears with Tulsi, then I say, Giraj, Dharan Ki Jai. Jai Giraj. Oh, like this. Oh, Dasta Vrindavan, please give me Shudanam. Shudanam, Shudanam Prapti. Please bless me a pure name of Radha and Krishna. Please let the pure name dance in my heart. Please let the pure name come out from my tongue and my ears. Let the Shudanam then say, I'm begging the Brajaraj. Please give me the pure name, revealed, manifest the pure name of Radha and Krishna in my heart. And then we take our right hand with beads. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then we experience Shudanam. The dust of Vrindavan can give Shudanam. So now bathing in Govindakund. Was it mentioned about bathing? Oh. Well, some will bathe. I just want to mention, because that was the end on a dry note. And I want to end on a sweet note about bathing here. This is... This one. Okay. This, of course, is a very short one. This is from Garga Samhita, and also in Mathura Mahatmyam, which is a book by Rupa Goswami. There's also a Mathura Mahatmyam in Padma Puran. But Rupa Goswami compiled a Mathura Mahatmyam where he collected quotations from different Puranas into a beautiful book by Rupa Goswami called Mathura Mahatmyam. Is that in Russian, by any chance? That book, Mathura Mahatmyam? No. So there, he quotes in the same quote as there. Anyone who bathes in Govinda Kund while remembering Lord Krishna will definitely attain a spiritual body. Siddhadeya. So if you want a free Siddhadeya, then take bath in Govinda Kund and remember Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. So that concludes our discussion today. And tomorrow, by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga and Radharani, we will meet together in Radha Kund. At what time? 8 o'clock or something? It's around 7:30 in a place at right opposite Mahaprabhu's sitting place. We'll all sit down. We're going to sit down in the shade of Mahaprabhu's tamal tree. Tamal Tala. Tamal Tala is the place where Lord Chaitanya discovered, in the very place where Lord Chaitanya discovered Radha Kund, we will sit down and have our Harikatha tomorrow. The very place is Tamal Tala, Mahaprabhu Baitak, the sitting place, bhajan place of Lord Chaitanya. And opposite that, there's a very large Dharmashala, Manoranjan Dharmashala, and that hall there will have our katha. And there'll be shade there and maybe less buffaloes and pigs and things like that. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Jai Shri Radhe.
Jai.